Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Jerry Sloan, Kevin Lowry, Joey Devine, Pete Myers, Dick Motta, Stan Albeck, Sean Keen, Bill Berry, Vinny Del Negro. Musical guest Liz Fair, and now the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, your temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine, and after a half week last week, we are back, and better than ever, and of course, I'm here with my co-host, Sean Keane. Sean, how are you?
I'm good.
Did you get fired this week?
No, I didn't. I retained my job.
Did you find out that you had a weird disease?
Yeah, but I have senioritis.
Oh, tight. That's a fun one.
It is. I mean, it's nice to have it finally confirmed. You know what I mean? Like, you live your life and you're like, oh, why am I partying so much?
You've had senioritis so for 36 years.
Yeah, I'm just like, I thought I was allergic to certain fabrics. And it was just that, like, I'm just not comfortable having my shirt on. You know what I mean?
It's
senioritis. I drink beers really fast. Like, yeah, it's crazy.
Well, Sean?
Yes.
Should we get to the news?
Yeah, let's get to the news.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news. For humans and robots. Trust the process.
All right. Our first piece of news is, I kind of alluded to it earlier, but those fucking morons who run Chicago fired the moron who was their coach.
Wait, do you mean Rahm Emanuel fired the ghost of Mayor Daley?
Yeah, that is what. No, actually, Rod Blagojevich, he fired Rahm Emanuel.
I was actually thinking the Bulls would probably be more successful if Rod Blagojevich was running the team.
Rod Blagojevich was so tight, but he was also like a real warning for Trump. That's really what Rod Blagojevich was, right? Mm-hmm.
He should have been more of a warning for Rahm Emanuel, too. And like,
he was sitting on a fucking gold mine, dude. Sorry, nothing.
No one ever records a phone call in this town.
Yeah, in the city of Chicago, no one has ever recorded a blackmail before. All right.
A lot of law enforcement in that town.
Weirdly, though, Rod Blagojevich, one of the only corrupt Chicago politicians to not be taken down by RICO.
Oh, that's
just
true.
Regular wiretapping. Speaking of the firing of Fred Hoiberg, though, a lot of our newer listeners probably don't know this because we always forget to plug it. But yeah. We have a phone number.
Great.
Yeah. And we got this really weird call.
I listened to this too, Joey, and I think it's like when you just have a number that's too public for too long.
Yeah.
I think that must be what happened. But we do have a Google Voice number.
I think this guy, he said that he was, he said his name was Big Polsky, and he was on an asphalt paver in Hegwisch.
I don't know what any of those words mean.
But I think he's trying to, okay, look, I did some digging here, and ESPN Radio in Chicago has a show called Carmen and Jerko.
Uh-huh.
That's their drive time sports talk on ESPN Radio. I think that's who this guy thinks he's calling.
Oh, okay. Let's listen.
But anyway, here is Big Polsky on an asphalt paver in Hegwisch.
Hey, Carmen, hey, Yoko, first time, long time, calling about Fred's dead, baby. Fred's dead, Bull fan here, been one. Here's how far back I go with the Bulls. First time my ex-wife had me sleep on the couch was letting the kids chant Lame Beer Sucks at the Bat House on Madison. So today's a good day for me. And Fred ride that piss horse back to Iowa because they thought they could bring in a stammering Jimmy Stewart with a bum ticker and have him talk to Bobby Portis about basketball or anything. Dangerous psychopath. And you send Mickey Mouse in there? Come on. You guys spending half the practice texting his wife, hey, are we okay? Jeez. My problem is, press conference, Paxton says Gar Forman's job is absolutely safe. Why is Paxton's job safe? 15 years, 6 coaches. The guy can't put a team together to save his life. They had to trade Jimmy Butler because they didn't know how to build around a two-way superstar who's one of the top 10 players in the league on a team-friendly contract. They told Hoiberg, we're going to get younger, we're going to get more athletic. They bring in Rondo, they bring in Wade, 35-year-old Dwayne Wade. We're going to get shooters. Here's Jabari Parker playing the wrong position for $20 million. What are we doing? Who does he have pictures of? They somehow, it comes down to Reinsdorf's because Michael Reinsdorf wants everybody to be his friend. And Jerry Reinsdorf is worried about the 9 White Sox fans that still exist watching that baseball team. They don't even buy a team clothes. They just buy a black windbreaker from their tuck pointing company with some white lettering. They rehired Doug Collins, who they fired in the late 80s because he was poking one of the owner's wives. They don't know what they're doing. What do they do? How do we sit through another rebuild with Paxton and Gar at the helm? I'll defer to the Oracle. I'll hang up the list.
Wow. A lot of weird information there, huh?
I didn't know
he's
that.
He's not wrong.
No, he's pretty much correct in all that. I think he's also right about the Chicago White Sox apparel too.
Yeah, I also
like they switch their colors just to make it easier. You know, but it's like black and white. Everybody owns those.
Listeners, if you'd like to give us a call, our number is 323-682-0342. Call us and leave us a message, but say only nice things because Sean and I are we're special boys.
Yeah, we're sensitive.
Yeah, we're sensitive and special boys.
We can dish it out, but we cannot.
We cannot take it.
No.
But I guess we should do what? Should I run through Fred Hoiberg's some stuff here about the Chicago Bulls just coaching situation? So Hoiberg has a career record of 115 and 155.
Yeah, he was basically 500 his first two seasons. It was like 42 and 40 and 41 and 41. And then the bottom fell out last year. And also this year.
Gar Forman and John Paxson, who stopped blowing each other in room 232 long enough to fire Hoiberg.
They're like jacking each other off in a hedge maze now.
They hired Jim Boylan, who is not the Cavs Jim Boylan, who was the interim Bulls head coach for a while in 2007, though.
That was
this is a completely
confusing.
Different Jim Boylan.
And I mean, that even happened in December, too. It was like 11 years ago. The Bulls were like, we need to give Jim Boylan a try. And the old guy is currently suing Dan Gilbert, one of many Cavs employees with an active lawsuit against Dan Gilbert.
But the new Jim Boylan, replacement Boylan, he's not the interim coach. Gar Paxson have essentially said he's going to be their coach next year, too.
Yeah, they've given him.
Seems a little unorthodox, right?
Well, okay, this is what's weird about it. I don't even think that if they fire Hoiberg, which, let's be honest, could have happened at any point in the last 30 months and been justified.
Yeah, there is one thing I want to say. Bulls fans who are rightly angry at Gar Forman and John Paxson because it's the NBA's second longest nightmare, not to... You know, don't want to step on Ernie Grunfeld's toes in the,
that's
the
right.
Wizards.
Ernie Grunfeld has been around longer than these guys.
And has been worse, I think. But they hate Gar Paxson so much. It seemed like Chicago Bulls fans, because Fred Hoiberg got fired, were just like, well, we have to take Hoiberg's side because we hate these other two guys so much.
Right.
So Hoiberg was unfairly fired. And
he just never had a chance in those 3 1/3 seasons. Just never.
Where all he did was complain about how he didn't have his guys to put his own system in.
There was a very damning story about in the ESPN story about the firing, about some day when Hoiberg like hung around to answer extra media questions and Jim Boylan just started practice without him. That was like September. But Hoiberg, like, as our caller said, Jimmy Stewart with a heart condition. Like, he just like I feel like that just, I was going to say it doesn't work in the NBA, but I was like, I don't think it works in the 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
Like that just, he's like a pre 9/11 coach. He's for a different world.
I mean, look, his system might be the greatest system of all time. We just never know, you know?
Yeah.
You'll just never have the personnel for it.
And it's not really clear who that personnel is supposed to be, too.
He's
because
like, I need a 7-footer who can run as fast as like a sprinter. That's what he needs.
Yeah, because occasionally
like something that just doesn't exist.
I would say this is a damning thing about Fred Hoiberg. How many people have been on the Bulls and gone to other teams and immediately become much, much better than they were on the Bulls?
Not as many as the Oklahoma City Thunder. but it's close. But
yeah, like Mirotić left, and suddenly he's just this unstoppable force.
To be fair, he was an unstoppable force before he got traded to. It just took Bobby Portis's fist to punch him in the face.
Yeah, that he had to, that actually knocked some sense into him. The combative, yeah, that was the other thing.
It's like in a sitcom when a guy has amnesia, and then he gets hit on the head again, and then his memories come back. That's like what happened to Mirotić.
And like the Hoiberg coaching was the initial blow to the head.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's another thing. One of the players sent another player to the hospital over a year ago.
Yeah.
And the ownership was like, man, it's going pretty well. He's got a good control of the team.
But like, the first problem, like total problem they've had in that locker room. The like Wade, Rondo, my vets, that was also under Hoiberg's watch.
Even guys that aren't even that significant, like Doug McDermott is way better now that he's out of Chicago. He's not really good, but like he's still way better. I'm totally expecting, the Boylan era is going to be different. We're going to see the full potential of Denzel Valentine and Chandler Hutchinson now. Yeah.
Hey, Chandler Hutchinson's actually been okay, weirdly. Anyway.
So getting rid of Fred Hoiberg, totally justifiable to me. What's bizarre to me is picking an interim coach and making what sounds like almost a 2-year commitment to the guy who was Fred Hoiberg's lead assistant for the entire time.
Uh-huh.
Hoiberg was, he's been with the Bulls, that he was there.
It's also weird that he like you don't maybe want to look at somebody over the summer, like,
yeah, like there might be other opportunities rather than like, no, we made up our mind. Well, because apparently they decided to do it on Sunday night.
Yeah, that was the other thing.
Gave Boylan the, yeah.
They hired Boylan for the job on Sunday night, then let Hoiberg come to practice and fired him face to face.
Mm-hmm. And to me, that almost sounds like, look, we need another coach, but we also need someone who's within driving distance of the arena and is probably going to show up on Monday anyway. So I also gotta say,
like, come on, Jim, you don't want to maybe give your boss the heads up there?
Yeah, like, seriously.
Send him a text.
Yeah, like Hoiberg wouldn't have appreciated that.
Yeah, I mean,
you show up to practice. Like, at least he wouldn't have had to prepare for a practice.
Look, when you fired Dave Schilling and then hired me for this job, yeah, I told true. Dave ahead of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dave didn't have to write a rundown for that week's episode. And he got to collect severance, which is good.
Yeah, that's why we did it. All right, I want to play a game with you, Sean.
Okay.
It's called Jim Boylan or Jim Boylan.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to read you a fact, and then you have to tell me if it was Jim Boylan or Jim Boylan.
Okay, I'm ready. I think I understand the parameters.
All right. Born in Jersey City, New Jersey.
I believe that's Jim Boylan.
I'm sorry, it was Jim Boylan.
Oh,
the correct answer was Jim Boylan.
Okay.
3-time NBA champion.
Oh, that's Jim Boylan.
Hey, correct. Oh, wait, no, it's actually, no, sorry, I got confused there. It's Jim Boylan.
Oh, oh no. Oh, yeah.
Chicago Bulls head coach.
Jim Boylan.
Correct!
Oh, okay.
We would have accepted either answer there.
Oh, okay.
NBA Milwaukee Bucks assistant from 2008 to 2013.
God. Jim Boylan?
No, I'm sorry. The correct answer is Jim Boylan.
Oh.
Is this bit old yet? Should we keep going?
Yes. just a little bit about this guy. Besides working for Fred Hoiberg, I guess he was like, he's not really that old, but he's old enough. He coached on the Rockets back-to-back champs. So he has been a coach for a long time.
He's a 3-time NBA champion.
Oh, what was the other?
He was a Spurs assistant from 13 to 15.
Okay. And he was also one of Eric Musselman's assistants in Golden State.
This should go well.
Yeah. He's
you
only
know what, though?
Have...
Fred Hoiberg, kind of, he's very Musselman-y.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, I would say. I think Fred Hoiberg is just less inclined to take his shirt off than Musselman is because of the heart scars and stuff.
So they fired him face to face at the practice facility. Is there a more demeaning location they should have fired him in, Sean?
Yeah, I think they should have gone to the Jason Kidd Pizza restaurant in Milwaukee. It's not that far. Like, you could probably drive there in like an hour and 15 minutes. You're doing it face to face. Like, don't do it at practice.
I think they should have fired him in that van from the Sufjan Stevens song.
Yeah, or at Shea Keys, the fancy restaurant where Abe Froman, the Sausage King of Chicago, eats.
Yeah.
That would have been classy.
So Boylan is the coach now.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the coach the Bulls deserve, though? Because it's clearly not this fake Jim Boylan.
No, I mean, this is a guy that he's been a head coach. He was a head coach for 4 years at the University of Utah.
Mm-hmm.
He made the tournament once.
Tight.
And they lost in the first round. Mm-hmm. And it's not like Utah's basketball program was a wasteland. Like, they had the number one pick in the draft like 5 years before he got there.
Andre Miller too.
Yeah. I mean, Keith Van Horn, like they went to the, did they go to the NCAA final in 98? I think they did. Anyway, I mean,
we don't care about
who cares. Something terrible might have happened. Anyway, didn't seem like he did a great job there. That's all.
Agreed.
So the coach they deserve, I think it's Ditka. I think, why not?
Oh, man. Yeah, that would be pretty tight. I mean, I already made a Rod Blagojevich joke earlier in the podcast. That's normally where I would put this here.
Right.
But Ditka would be pretty great. What if they went, like, do you think if they offered Michael Jordan the job, he would take it? And they figured out a way with the league that he could still own the own the Hornets,
and
but also coach the Bulls.
I kind of feel like Mike doesn't really like he as much of a maniac about practice as he was early in his career. I think he would be the opposite as a head coach of a basketball team.
But don't you think he kind of, there's a little part of him that's like, oh, so Bobby Portis punches people in practice, huh? I'd like a piece of that.
That's
guy.
What we're doing here? Yeah. Daddy likes. Ooh, a Euro to yell at? Hell yeah.
Oh, I haven't been back to my steakhouse in a while. I should probably see how that's going.
I have one other... Well, okay.
Oh, I know. You know who should coach the team, actually?
Who's that?
They should just hire an entire staff. In Chicago, there's this restaurant that you see on, like, tourist places all the time, like, tourist television all the time, called the Wiener Circle.
Oh, yeah.
Where these just, like, sassy ladies, like, burn people.
Triumph the Insult Comic Dog visited there once.
They should hire all of those people just to coach the Bulls.
Yeah, just screaming out, like, and all of them would be the coach, so, like, it wouldn't really matter. I mean, you would be, how many points do you think you would be spotting the opposing team on technicals? Like 7 or 8 a game?
The thing is I've been there, and those ladies, they're so charming when they're screaming at you. I think maybe none.
They'd like get away with it.
I think the refs would just get used to it. They'd be like, oh, this is tight.
Yeah, this is how they communicate. Like, we don't want to. I was also thinking maybe Smashing Pumpkins frontman Billy Corgan.
He was too sad on that roller coaster that one time. He can't be on this roller coaster.
He's more of a wrestling guy too.
He also goes on InfoWars all the time, I think, if I remember right.
That would not surprise me one bit. And like, And the thing is, he would be the biggest asshole, because anytime they won, he'd be like, I wrote all of those plays.
You know, I'm glad you brought Billy Corgan up, because there's something I've been meaning to talk about on this podcast, and I kept forgetting. So I read the Beastie Boys book a couple weeks ago, and in it, Mike D, there's an entire chapter where Mike D just talks about playing basketball backstage at Lollapalooza 94. And he says, I swear to God, he says this, that one time Billy Corgan dunked on a photographer on a 10-foot hoop.
Billy Corgan dunked on a 10-foot hoop.
Yeah.
Man, is Billy Corgan taller than I think he is?
I think he's pretty tall.
He's pretty big, I guess.
But still, there's no fucking way that's true, right?
He's 6'3". No, I bet Billy Corgan could get up. I believe it.
What makes you believe that Billy Corgan can dunk?
That he's 6'3" only. I thought he was like 4 or 5 inches shorter than that. But I think, like, if you're, like, a young man who's 6'3", and, like, Billy Corgan is enough of an obsessive dick that he'd, like, buy the shoes, you know, like the Jumpman shoe, whatever they're called, the jump soles. Like Billy Corgan would spend hundreds of hours practicing dunking, I think.
Yeah.
Because he would be by himself a lot.
Here, I just found the passage from the book.
Oh, great, great.
When most New Yorkers talk about the dunk, they're talking about the famed John Starks posterization of Horace Grant and Michael Jordan in Game 2 of the 1993 Eastern Conference Finals at MSG. But for us, the dunk will always be the 6'3 Billy Corgan brutally flushing over the 5'9 photographer Ricky Powell, who was also high on mushrooms.
Wow. It was nasty. Dunked on Ricky Powell, too. Okay, well, I'll say this. Definitely Billy Corgan dunks with both hands.
Yeah, that was... For sure. Now, here's a question. Do you think James Ehaw can dunk?
No, I don't think James Ehaw can dribble a basketball. But also, like, I would not be surprised if he was, like, an amazing high-ally player or something like that. He's like, I just direct my talents in a very specific area.
All right, I gave out our phone number before, and I want to ask for something very specific. Listeners out there, I want you to call us and ask us, which 90s alternative rock stars, if we think they can dunk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ehaw is only 5'9". And just does not have the temperament. I don't think he could dunk if he was 7'9".
His hat makes him 7'9" a lot of the time.
Do you know what his record label is called?
No.
Scratchy Records.
Okay. All right.
Bad.
Do you think Billy Corgan had hair or did not when he dunked?
94. He was not shaving his head yet, but he was balding.
Okay. I bet once he lost his hair, he couldn't dunk anymore. Once he went to that, like, Nosferatu.
Yeah, because then he was, like, getting too, like, intentionally creepy.
He, like, moved, like, in, like slow motion, sort of. All right,
like I could see him befriending Eton Thomas and then having like a horrible breakup when he's like, yeah, you're a poet who can dunk, and like Eton Thomas's hair got longer and crazier, and Billy Corgan's hair started to disappear, and they just broke apart.
Okay, you know what? You've convinced me. This conversation has convinced me. Billy Corgan should coach the Chicago Bulls.
Do you know what Billy Corgan's first band was called?
Zwan.
Oh, never mind. Yeah, never mind. No, sorry. Ehaw's band was the worst one.
What was it called?
It was called Snake Train.
That is really terrible. All right. Let's go to our other big story.
Okay.
Markelle Fultz, Sean. You know a lot more about this story than I do because you follow baseball. So why don't you walk us through
Okay, so after we you know, after the story was broken that Marco Fultz's agent slash attorney,
his attorney, Raymond, not his agent, his attorney,
Raymond Brothers, the official Woj story is, on the advice of his attorney Raymond Brothers, Fultz visited with approximately 10 specialists over the past week or so, consultations that resulted in their bringing this diagnosis back to the 76ers. Brothers told ESPN that it was thoracic outlet syndrome, which is something that affects nerves between the neck and shoulder, resulting in abnormal functional movement and range of motion, thus severely limiting Markel's ability to shoot a basketball. And what that means is, it's like, if you want to visualize this on your own body, it is like, it's basically like right at your collarbone.
Uh-huh. I'm pointing to it now. Keep going.
Right at your collarbone. There's two arteries that are very close together. And there's also, there are some people that have like a weird upper rib there. And that kind of, but basically it's like, there's a bunch of compressed area. Mm-hmm. Sorry, there's that compressed area, and like the nerve gets pinched, and because of that, like your hands can get numb, your shoulder can hurt, you can get neck pain, and pitchers get it a lot in baseball, which makes sense because it's a wholly unnatural alien human motion.
So, Sean, you're a doctor.
I am a doctor.
So when I sleep on my arm and I wake up and I can't feel it.
Uh-huh.
Does that mean I have thoracic outlet syndrome?
It does mean thoracic outlet syndrome.
Okay, good.
Yeah. If you
like, that explains why my jumper is not wet.
Yeah. no. Just for the record, that definition is basically from the official Mayo Clinic, but the Mayo Clinic says the yips are a special kind of focal dystonia, which is a condition that causes involuntary muscle contractions. That does not appear to be medically what's going on with Marco Fultz. I'm going to give you one more quote from Raymond Brothers, which is, people were saying it was his attorney slash agent slash physician. people were saying it was a mental problem, and it is not. There's no way you're the number one pick in the world, and all of a sudden you aren't able to consistently raise your arms to shoot a basketball. Well, there's one way. You're Marco Fultz. Something is physically wrong. Now we have the answer to that problem. I got to say, it's like weird because no one really ever gets it in basketball. But also it does
make sense.
It does seem to describe like what would, and essentially what they said was he can't follow through on a shot because it's very painful, the extension of his arms and raising it up.
I saw something that really bothered me. I'm going to be honest. A lot of the way people have talked about this Fultz stuff bothers me, mm-hmm. even if it was a mental problem. That's like we should be being nicer about that, because you know what, like your brain you could wake up with a broken brain someday too, like that just happens to people. But
also it's like people are rooting, now I understand that much of it is mostly people rooting against like the Sixers or the process, or,
and let's be clear, we hate the process.
Yeah.
So
we've been down on Hinkie very, very early.
But I saw this one tweet from this 76ers beat writer that was like, Fultz saw 10 doctors and this was the only one that recommended he not play.
Yeah.
And it's maybe that's because this is the doctor who found the problem.
Yeah, I mean, I would be more doubtful, except this is like famously a thing that gets misdiagnosed in baseball. And you like when J.R. Richard had a stroke that ended his career, he almost definitely had this. Mm-hmm. And people just had no idea what it was. Otherwise, they would have just been like, oh, there's definitely a blood clot here somewhere. Let's get rid of it so he can pitch again and won't have a debilitating stroke either. The only thing that's weird to me is they're like, yeah, 3 to 6 weeks of rehab should be fine, when in most of, I mean, I guess it depends on the kind he has, but like Kenny Rogers of the Rangers and many other pitchers get like the upper rib removed.
Excuse me?
They get like that top rib, the one that's right under your collarbone.
So they can, they can.
Yes.
They can suck their own dick.
They can suck their own dicks. That's what I'm saying. Okay. Markel Fultz, you're going to be okay. Like, you might not be able to shoot again, but you'll be taken care of.
They're just saying 3 to 6 weeks of rehab. Let's be fucking honest, dude. They don't know.
I think, I mean, it depends. I don't, you know.
You are a doctor.
I am a doctor.
This is an official diagnosis that everyone is going to hold you to.
If he were a baseball pitcher, it would be a 3-month procedure.
Mm-hmm.
But he's
a basketball player, Sean.
Yeah, but his jumper could add 5 to 6 miles per hour, which is pretty good. Yeah,
they should give him Tommy John just while they're in there, dude.
Yeah, just clean the whole thing out. Get rid of like 3 of his.
Honestly,
he'd be like super fast.
Look, honestly, anyone who plays Little League now, they should just give Tommy John to.
Yeah, get it
just
over
right away. Just get it over with, dude. Every child should have Tommy John surgery.
Ideally from a cadaver ligament, maybe from an evil one too, just to see what happens.
So tight, dude. All right.
So hopefully, you know, I mean, again, everything about this story is incredibly weird, but this does look. I hope he's good again. He's good at many other parts of basketball.
Yeah.
It's not the super important one that involves being able to shoot from more than 8 feet out.
Okay. Here's a question.
Yeah.
The Sixers medical staff.
Uh-huh.
What's wrong with them?
So what kind
just of... this year.
Just this year.
They have misdiagnosed Markel Fultz, and they almost killed Zaire Smith because he was allergic to sesame oil.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just in the season's been on for like a month and a half.
Joel Embiid missed 2 years, 2.5 years.
Sounds right.
Ben Simmons missed an entire year.
Uh-huh.
Nerlens Noel missed an entire year. Jrue Holiday was horribly injured and it was not reported to New Orleans when they traded for him. And they had to give New Orleans like millions of dollars for that.
Their GM, Elton Brand. People.
Yeah.
Don't forget about all that. He missed like most of his contract.
Oh, remember when they traded for Andrew Bynum?
Mm-hmm.
And the medical staff couldn't protect him from the rigors of bowling. You know, everybody makes fun of Andrew Bynum for that, but if you think about it, like think of what's happened in Philadelphia since then. You've got to be like, yeah, that shouldn't have ended his NBA career. Mm-hmm. Bowling once. Like that should be a fairly neutral activity because, okay, Andrew Bynum, 7 feet tall, 285.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what's the heaviest possible bowling ball he could have been dealing with there? Like 18 pounds? Yeah, there are even like. Like Wilson Chandler, like that just seems like you're like inviting a virus into a hospital with that. Like, it seems unsafe to play for this team. My theory is that the Sixers medical staff is an actual staff, like a piece of a long piece of wood that a wizard would hold. And they're like, oh, we consulted with the medical staff. It's actually just Brett Brown, like, banging it on an injured body part and just being like, you get out of there, thoracic outlet syndrome.
All right. Two things. Two more questions about this. Because, again, you're a doctor. Well, I have you here.
Yeah.
I keep hearing rumors that Markel Fultz got in a motorcycle accident.
You know, it was so vague that I had actually until...
I thought it was like, a joke until like a week ago.
Until like 3 hours ago, I thought they were talking about a car accident. But it's I can't find any kind of sourcing on it. Someone just kind of said it on the radio.
Yeah, it's not like he was vining himself on a bike before he broke his hand. Devin Booker. Hey, no hands.
Oh man, I keep thinking Fultz is gonna end up in Phoenix.
I know. They'd know how to fix this.
Yeah, but also
steroids.
Like I don't think that gives you thoracic outlet syndrome. Maybe it could, but it seems like it's like
you're a doctor, you've got to make a decision
from all the examples I have seen in my private practice, on Wikipedia, in the search results to famous thoracic outlet syndrome ? All of these are like people that do repetitive activities. It's not like, you know, Kenny Rogers was pitching great at age 37, but then he fell off his bike.
So you're saying that Billy Joel might have thoracic outlet syndrome from repetitively crashing his car while drunk driving?
Yeah, right? Like if Billy Joel doesn't have it, if Harrison Ford hasn't had a rib removed
from all the plates
crashes, like we're not hearing about that there.
Harrison Ford can't even get a surgeon to remove that earring. He'll never get one to remove his rib.
It was very distracting in that Star Wars movie, I have to say.
Yeah. Kylo!
He went out doing what we all remember Han Solo doing, hugging someone.
I have one last question.
Yeah.
There's one person I feel like should feel the worst about this diagnosis. And that is Cowboys wide receiver Amari Cooper.
Oh, because he did the celebration that was – he made fun of the free throw,
he
right?
He made fun of Fultz's free throw during a touchdown celebration a few weeks ago. And he thought he was just making fun of a guy whose brain didn't work, but now he's making fun of a sick person.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm sure thoracic outlet syndrome Twitter is tearing him a new one, right?
Yeah, except I heard they're not allowing it on Tumblr anymore.
Oh,
thoracic
yeah.
Outlet syndrome, so they're more mad about that.
That's true. You can't actually get it as a teenager. You have to be 18 years old.
Yeah. All right. Anything else you want to say about Fultz, dude?
No, I mean, get better, man. And also, do you think Raymond Brothers would work for us, too? It feels like
we do need an attorney. One of these days, Moses Malone Jr. Or Billy Corgan.
I feel like Tanner Ainge might go after us.
Or Nate Duncan and Danny LaRue. might Lopez sue us twins. The Lopez twins, yeah.
Dave for wrongful termination.
Yeah, Dave Schilling,
we shouldn't have said that on a public forum. It was age discrimination too, even though I think Dave is younger than both of us. I don't know.
Who knows? Dave. Anyway, hey, attorney Raymond Brothers, we need an attorney. So let us know.
Call the Google voice number.
Yeah, call the Google voice number.
That's the best way to get in touch.
But before you
tweet at us. But leave like a 5-star review on iTunes so we know that you're serious about the job.
But also, when you call the Google voice number, again, ask us which alternative music star you want us to decide if they can dunk or not. Again, attorney Raymond Brothers, that number is 323-682-0342. It's for attorney Raymond Brothers only. All right. Sean, we had a trade last week that we didn't talk about.
No, you'd think it would have been an emergency trade pod, but
it was too sad.
Well, it was like a 15th place team trading with a 14th place team at the time, I think.
Kyle Korver is back, baby. To quote Ace Frehley, he's back in that Salt Lake groove.
He cannot dunk, by the way, if we're wondering.
Ace Frehley? He can for sure dunk, dude.
In those, well, I guess he's in the boots, right?
Yeah, he's the people of KISS are superheroes. They have superpowers. He's the spaceman.
I bet if KISS played a basketball game, I'm just imagining that scene from Hoosiers where Gene Hackman's like, I think if you look at these measurements, you'll see that they're the same as our home gym in Hickory. And someone's like, KISS's basket is like 8 feet 2 inches.
It might be time to have Daniel Ralston again to talk more about musical basketball.
Yeah.
But Kyle Korver got traded back to Utah for Alec Burks and 2 second-round picks.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have anything to say about this trade at the time, and I don't have anything to say about it now, except it seems like if you use slammed up terms, that Cleveland got a lot for Kyle Korver.
Yeah, because
two picks and like a player who can play, sort of.
Yeah, because they're not, I mean, although it doesn't really matter, I mean, we both believe that Dan Gilbert thinks he's getting the number one pick this summer, right?
He definitely thinks he's
so getting it. So it doesn't really matter. Yeah. They don't have to tank that hard because he just believes that the league will hook him up. So they kind of do want Alec Burks just playing, doing something. Also,
Alec Burks is better Rodney Hood, kind of, isn't he?
I mean, I think he's just been devastated by injuries. But it still seems like...
But Rodney Hood has been devastated by things that are unclear. You know what I mean?
Rodney Hood's
just been devastated. At least there's a reason for Alec Burks.
Burks seems like he should be, like, the third best Cav. and then they got 2 second-round picks. And it feels like, I mean, I know Kyle Korver is an extremely good 3-point shooter. That will probably be the case until he dies.
Mm-hmm.
But he's pretty old now.
Yeah.
So it does kind of feel like the Jazz gave up second round picks to get just that much wider.
Yeah, they wanted to get wider, let's be honest.
Yeah. And you know what? Good for them. They went early. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of times a team will wait to whitewash until the trade deadline. But just get it done. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't really have anything to say about this trade.
Oh, man, it's kind of a bummer. It's funny that he's back, like, 8 years later, though.
Yeah, that is definitely funny, for sure.
And it's also funny that isn't the pick... The Cavs are trying to avoid losing the one they traded to get him.
Yes.
So that's kind of beautiful in a way too, that like they have to get rid of him in order to tank hard enough. Anyway, I know I'm contradicting myself, but I just like it when a pick is delayed enough that, you know, a guy can participate on the other end of that backbreaking trade.
Mm-hmm. All right, Sean, explain this next story to me because I missed it.
We had someone who wanted us to bring this up just because
Ninja Purtle,
formerly
Shot Daddy, aka David Jordan, aka the guy who emails us questions.
Yeah,
keep emailing Ninja Purtle.
Yeah, he's doing great.
Yeah.
So Daryl Morey was on Tom Haberstroh's show and was just talking about how bad the Rockets have been.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically said that he thought that Melo would work out, and then he lied and he said that, yeah, you know, like, he could definitely play in the NBA. I think someone will sign him really soon. I don't think that's going to happen, Joey.
No.
But he said, slam me. I deserve to be slammed, which was kind of masochistic. And again, as per the terms of the question, Daryl Morey was the Halle Berry sex scene from Monsters and All.
Also, I'd seen this earlier, because then we would be working on some Yo Mama style slams about Daryl Morey. Yeah. But so if you have any of those, call us. I've said the number twice now.
Yeah.
But also, Daryl, you know what's going to get slammed? Your musical Small Ball.
Mm-hmm.
By the critics, because I've heard that song and it is not good.
Yeah.
Do we want to have meaning to them? Become part of their world. Become friends, lovers. Sleep with them here on this beach.
No, we don't want that.
Do we want to have sex with giants, even as a kind of lark? Not saying I'm against the alliance, just introducing.
Look, I only said that because I want to play that song later because it is the fucking worst.
Small
so
ball.
We'll play a portion of, again, Daryl Morey has a musical about a the nation of Lilliput trying to learn how to play basketball.
And they don't have a concept of the number five.
Mm-hmm. And here is a portion of that song. And for those of you in your cars right now, I want you to slam it. It deserves to be slammed. Turn this shit up, baby.
You want to add to the team. Lily's over there, just over there, adding herself to Michael Jordan, and he is adding himself to her. And it's math, Mrs. Horton. It's math. Everybody wants to get away from zero, combine and multiply and grow, big, big,
this
big.
This is just a giant wad of nonsense. Phil, he's just...
Two. We wanna get naked with giants or know what's between four and six, how to bring the parts into compliance. I just cannot grasp the mechanics.
Oh, God.
Do we wanna have sex with giants?
Sex with giants.
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 With giants,
sex with giants,
sex with giants.
Okay.
That's in a way, that's the Carmelo Anthony of musicals.
I mean, that's not fair. Carmelo Anthony was good.
Then. Yeah, that's there's no universe where Small Ball is a useful player on the Broadway.
I'm sorry if you're a cast member of Small Ball and you're listening to this. I apologize. We're just slamming him. He told us to slam him.
He told it. He said he deserved to.
All right, Sean, what was your favorite play this week so far? We never talk about actual basketball on this show because we find we watch all the we watch a lot of games, but we're not experts. We're just idiots.
Yeah,
but I can tell you what my favorite thing I think that I've seen this year is.
Oh, hell yeah.
Mario Hezonja dunked sort of on Giannis.
Yeah.
And then stepped over him.
It was like on him because he was on a breakaway.
It was like a chase down. Yeah. But then Hezonja, because Hezonja is tight as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Stepped over him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Do you know what Giannis said afterwards?
I do, but you should say it.
Giannis said, just tried smoothie for the first time. No, he said, next time I'm going to punch him in the nuts.
Yeah, and everyone had to clarify that he seemed very serious because Giannis has joked about punching people in the face before his own teammates, but... this time he was actually mad.
So when he's joking, it's in the face, but when he's not joking, it's in the nuts.
It's in the nuts, which is
dude,
like
Giannis gets down, dude. He is a Greek freak in the sheets, man.
It's also like, I mean, I get that the nuts are there when you're being stepped over, but that's like not like that great a boast. You know
it's
what I mean? Like
hilarious, like, though.
It is a hilarious boast, yeah.
Because look, we all know Giannis. He's the perfect boy. He's so sweet. He would never punch anyone in the nuts. No. And thinking that that's a serious thing he would do is so funny.
Well, it's also very, like, Hezonja's reaction to it.
Well, that's what we're going to get to. This is why you don't fuck with Mario Hezonja. Mario Hezonja, all right, if you run an NBA team out there, first off, why are you listening to this podcast? Secondly,
they're just like, we just wanted to hear more get slammed, man.
Secondly, if you want us to slam you, we will slam you. You deserve to be slammed. Only
if you deserve to be slammed.
And thirdly, you need to sign Mario Hezonja this offseason. Mm-hmm. We need to keep him in the league. We can't get him back in Europe. He is too good. He's bad at basketball, but he is too good of a personality to have.
Yeah.
We can't lose him and J.R. Smith in the same year.
God, that'd be a tragedy.
Hezonja said, honestly, if you're afraid, this is not for you. I don't want to be disrespectful, but if you feel fear, this is not the place for you. New York is not a place for you, and this team is not a place for you.
Damn.
So he said that, and at the time of the play, by the way, Giannis had 33 and 19, and Hezonja, his only 2 points were that dunk.
Yeah, he scored 2 points in the entire game, and it was just that dunk. And afterwards gave a quote like... like he was like expelling an invading army from his homeland.
He sounds like Bernie Getz, right? Is that the guy on the subway?
Yeah, subway train.
Yeah.
Like, if you feel fear, this is not the place for you.
He thinks he lives in like Taxi Driver New York.
Yeah, that's like a speech that you make to your guys because you're like, oh my god, the baseball furies are after us. Like, you know.
That's like what you say to rally your building during the summer of Sam.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That is not what you say at the M&M store. So tight. Like, thank you,
like,
Mario.
If you're afraid this is not for you, it's like, I don't think this is for anyone. They just kind of sell M&Ms. It's a really big store.
That Elmo's pretty scary out there, though. All right, and our final story, Sean. Mm-hmm. Do you want to walk us through this one?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about this one. Terry Rozier is being sued for copyright infringement.
Excuse me?
Because of his scary Terry merchandise.
You know who he could use? Attorney Raymond Brothers.
He really could. There's apparently a company that's had the trademark to the ghost face, you know, Scream.
The Scream mask from Scream.
Also from The Scream, but they somehow have it. And his Scary Terry design is like the Scream mask, but on Terry Rozier's body, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And so the company that owns the trademark is going after him. And they're probably going to win because is using it. Well, it's a copyrighted design. And he's not like, it's not like fair use, you know.
Isn't it sort of a parody, though? Because it's not like...
That would be his argument, I would say.
Because it's like clearly a Boston Celtic wearing the mask.
Well, and I guess there's some questions about whether the broadness of their trademark will hurt them. My guess is that they will receive an injunction. Or he will, you know, give him a big chunk of it.
I'll tell you who wouldn't. Look, if Wes Craven were alive, this never would have happened. All right.
Yeah, and but I do think it could bankrupt Danny Ainge.
Oh,
as
his legal father?
Rozier's legal guardian. Yeah. His assets are in play. So it could be Tanner Ainge dropped a dime on him to the copyright holder.
All right, Sean, is there anything you want to plug? I think that's our show, right? Anything
else?
Yeah,
I think so.
We'll be back later this week. We're going to do 2 episodes this week. We were just kind of light on news.
Come see me at the Punchline December 20th through the 22nd. That's the main thing. I'll have a thing
in
about
San Francisco?
In San Francisco,
yeah,
sorry.
You should say what city you're in.
444 Battery Street, San Francisco. Did 2 shows Friday and Saturday, 1 on Thursday. Tickets at livenation.com. Co-headlining with Sammy Obade. And I'm going to have a thing about the biggest sports beefs of the year on Yardbarker soon.
Well, we'll talk about that in 2 days, probably.
Yeah, we'll talk some beefs.
As for
Jordan Peterson style, baby. We love beefs.
As for me, first off, rate and review this podcast. Give us 5 stars, please, on whatever podcatcher you listen to. Tell your friends. We've been really happy hearing from a lot of you lately, and keep that up. Like, it's nice to know people are listening. And as for me, as always, you can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where one day ago I tweeted, "I get called Jesse Pinkman almost every day. Hashtag I wish."
Man.
And then, as always, before we leave, before we say our catchphrase is going out, again, you know, a different website, got a lot of pub recently for their parody Luka Doncic song. And again, we're just trying to get on those Luka Doncic parody coattails. So
yeah, just trying to get that shine, baby.
Sean, you wrote and performed this one. Do you want to explain what it is?
I did. It's well, it's called Against All Lottery Odds, and it's sung from the perspective of Vlade Divac.
Oh, great!
And, I think it's very touching.
Yeah. So share that, friends. trust the process.
Trust the process.
Shut it down. Let's go home. Oh, and a special thanks to Brendan J. McGowan for this. Just special thanks to him. Follow him on Twitter at Brendan J. McGowan.
Yeah, check him out. How can I just let him walk away? Just let him leave without a trade. While I stand here taking every big with upside. Ooh. He's the only guard who's 6'8" tall. How can I pass on a guy like this when all the fans have done is watch us lose? 'Cause he shared the glory and the wins and even shared the ball. He's the only one who'll be impressed by Sacramento's mall. So take a look at Doncic. I can't believe he didn't go first. And there's no better prospect in the lottery. Laker Genesis is the worst. Take a look at Doncic now. Small forward's just an empty space. And drafting this high again is against the odds. He's the hope of the white race. I wish I could just turn this team around. Losing makes Vlade cry. Why did I ever trade Philly those picks? I was extremely high. Mess the only thing that makes me feel it all. And take a look at Doncic now. There's no way that he can fail. This town just needs something to inspire them. Our most famous building is a jail. Take a look at Doncic now. We want to play with pace. But Pagliato, Vivek told me to do so. I'm gonna fall on my face. Take a look at Doncic now. Not a teenager with a bad back, but making the playoffs is against the odds, so I'm gonna get the sack.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.